preach tonight on something that we're all guilty of at one time or another, and that's stinking thinking. We all can succumb to wrong thoughts about things or about people or about events or about circumstances in our lives. And, you know, the Bible talks about that. The Bible gives us answers for these things. You know, there are two things that will predict the future outcome of an individual or a church. The first thing is can he or can she or can they do the task that's before them? That is an issue of ability. And God has given us all skills, and he's given us abilities, and we're supposed to do all things for his glory. But the real issue between ability and success is, will he? Or will she? Or will they? And that is an issue of attitude. You know, oftentimes we get on our kids for having a bad attitude. Sometimes we get counseled by our manager that we need to improve our attitude at work. You know, sometimes you will tell your spouse that they need to change their attitude. Okay? We all need an attitude adjustment. And may I give to you that we probably need attitude adjustment every day. Because if we don't think on the right things, then we can get into stinking thinking. You know, what attitudes are we struggling with? And, you know, some of us are struggling with an attitude of feeling absolutely worthless. Have you ever had that time where you said, why? Why am I here? Why are these things going on? And, you know, we think that I personally stink. I'm not worthy. I'm not worth anything to anybody. That's bad thinking. That's bad thinking. Some of us may be struggling with an attitude of just not loving one another. And they go around to say, you stink. You stink. It's not my problem. Your problem. That's a bad attitude. It's an attitude brought on by not loving one another. And then some of us are struggling with situations in our lives, and we basically get into an attitude of bitterness, and we just say that life stinks. Y'all smiling because we've all been there. We've all been there. We've all had periods of time in our life where we just didn't feel that we were worth it. We basically had times in our lives where we didn't feel that we had a friend in the world because everybody's against us and no one sees things my way. Or why do all these things happen to me? And we'll hold them in. Those are dangerous things. But we can fix that with correct thinking. You know, in Philippians chapter 4, God gives a three-part recipe for peace. And the first one is that we need to rejoice in the Lord. You know, it's hard to be sad and hard to be mad when you're rejoicing. We have an ability to either be happy or to be sad. It's a choice that we make. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible commands us to rejoice in the Lord always. And if you didn't get it the first time, God writes it again, and he says, and again I say, rejoice. Christ gives us life and life more abundantly. He gives us joy unspeakable and full of glory. We're supposed to be happy. Paul says, whatever state I'm in, even in jail. He and Silas were singing in jail, bound up and fettered to walls. And the issue about rejoicing is, we have to make a choice to do it. In verse 5, It's hard to be angry with people when you want to show appreciation to them. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, it says, let your moderation be known to your friends. Let your moderation be known to those that you want them to see, the good side of you. Let your moderation be known to only certain ones of your family. No, that's not what this scripture says. Let your moderation be shown unto who? All men. Why? The Lord is at hand. Folks, we as Christians have the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit in us. God, we take God everywhere we go. He is at hand all the time. And when we have a bad attitude, what are we saying to God? Nah, not today. I'm going to do it my way. I choose to have a bad attitude. I am not going to rejoice. I'm not going to be appreciative. You know, the sad thing about Christians, we still have to put up with people. You know, that's the problem in mankind. People just don't want to put up with each other. And the last place that should be is in the church. We're supposed to be of the same mind, of one Lord, having God in front of us. So we need to put up with people. And it's hard to tear people down when you compliment them. Well, they don't deserve... Wait a second. It's a choice. It's a choice. The third one is supplication. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, it says, be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious. Don't worry about stuff. That's what the careful thing really means here. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. I got a secret. Know how to be successful with God? Pray about everything. Pray about everything. Nothing's too large or too small for God to get involved with. If we hold things back, we say, God, I can handle this. Then is he God? Is he Lord? We're supposed to pray about everything. That way we know it's God's will. And we can accept the outcome. And if you rejoice and you're appreciative and you're praying, verse 7, and the what? Peace of God, which passeth all understanding. It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't have to. It doesn't have to. We just need to trust it by faith. And what the Bible says, we've got to believe. It says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, Proverbs says that we're supposed to keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it is the issues of life. Christ said that we're supposed to love the Lord thy God with all thy what first? Heart. It is an issue of the heart. That's where our attitudes exist. Well, we talked about that we can have bad attitudes with ourselves. We can have bad attitudes with other people. We can have bad attitudes with circumstances in our lives. But we really need to kind of define them. See, when I say that I stink and I'm worthless, I have no peace with myself. And that's not God's plan for my life. The peace of God, which passeth what? All understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The second thing is, is when I say that you stink, I have no peace with others. And we're not a body, and we're not agreed, and we can't walk together. As much, Paul writes in Romans, he says, as much as in you be at peace with how many men? All men. And then thirdly, if we come in the attitude of being bitter, or we say that life stinks, then that's the issue of we have no peace with God. We have no peace with God. So we're going to look at these things and understand that God has an antidote for all these problems. So, stinking thinking robs me of my peace. A bad attitude will keep you, no matter how much ability you have, from being successful, for fulfilling the purpose that God's got for us. We've got to do that. See, what we need to do, and we need to work on this all the time. Every one of us needs to work on a positive attitude that rises above difficult circumstances, and that includes people. That includes jobs, neighbors, all those things. We need to come up with a positive attitude that rises above that, that transcends above all those things. Life's tough. It's tough. But God knows that. And He says, I'll give you peace. I'll give you joy. I'll give you stability in your life if you just trust me. So, where's biblically correct thinking? Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It says this. It says, finally, brethren, after he goes through rejoicing, let your moderation be known to all men. Everything you pray, be anxious for nothing. He says this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, be any praise, think on these things. So we look at this and we put this verse talking about myself. And it kind of, if I'm not happy with myself and I say that I stink, there's two questions here. The first one is, am I thinking about myself, thinking thoughts about myself that are true? Last Sunday night we went through truth, and that God is the source of all truth. And we have this thing here about whatsoever things are what? True. Whatsoever things are just. Okay? You know, in John 17, verse 17, the last part of that verse, Christ ends that. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. In Psalm chapter 19, verse 9, the last part of that, it says, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. That next verse says, more to be desired. It's to be desired. In Psalm chapter 119, 151, the last part of that, it says, all thy commandments are truth. See, the answer about myself is found in God's word. The fix that I need for myself is found in God's word, because God's word is truth. And so the question about it is, if I have an attitude of I stink, then really I'm saying that I don't really believe what God's word tells about me. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts. This is God speaking to you and to me. God knows his thoughts. He says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of what? Peace. See, if you think that I stink, you have no peace with yourself. If you think that others stink, you have no peace with others. If you think that your circumstances, your life stinks, you have no peace with God. He says, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end that you can hope for. You don't stink. unless you tell them to take a shower. You can fix that. But the issue is, do we need to take a spiritual shower? Do we need to kind of adjust our attitude to understand that we don't stink? We're precious in His sight. We've been going through Matthew, and He says that we're more valued than what? Many sparrows. Secondly, am I thinking thoughts about myself that are basically right? Okay? Or right here means righteousness, okay? Or you could also, it's basically the same word here that is that's all these things are honest or just, okay? And so right equals righteousness. In Psalm chapter 139, verse 14, the Bible says this. It says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. And look at this last phrase. That my soul knoweth what? Right well. It knows righteousness well. See, the issue is, when we think that we stink, we need to think on God. That'll fix it. His word is truth. His commandments are truth. His judgments are truth. And we need to understand that if I praise Him, rejoice evermore, I understand that my soul will know right or righteousness well. Do you know righteousness? When you look at your life, do you see righteousness, or do you see something that falls short of that? Try to live a holy life for God, and it'll change the way you think. Try to understand that you're bought with a price, and it'll change the way you live. And you understand that we're worth something to God. And if I'm worth something to God, the memory verse for this month, guys, if God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. So the issue is, God's on my side. And I need to think on Him. About my family and my friends. The first question is, am I thinking things that are lovely or of a good report? Lovely means to be attractive. But the sad part about this is oftentimes we look for flaws in the ones that we should love the most. I've seen children destroyed by parents who only pick on the negative and never look for the positive. Families are destroyed. Marriages are broken up by one spouse looking at the other and never looking at the good and always picking at the bad. You know, if you pick at a scab, it's going to keep on bleeding. And keep on picking at it, it's going to leave a scar. And that scar is going to stay for life. It works in the church too. If we don't love one another, if we don't lift up one another, and all we want to do is pick at flaws, we become a very critical place, and no one wants to be here. Folks, we need to set our expectations not on what we think our children should be at, but what God says they are. We need to set what, not what we think our wives or our husbands should be like, but what God says they are. We need to set our expectation on what church, what we do for church, not what church does for you. Because in Proverbs, 30, it says, there's a thing that's never, there's all these things that are never satisfied. One of them's a fire. You know why? Because you always have to feed it to keep it going. Are you all burning up tonight? Okay? Not figuratively, not literally, okay? But the issue is if we get consumed in the negativity of, hey, we just kindle a fire and it'll just consume every bit of us. And we won't be able to think on things that are lovely because we're too busy looking at the flaws and faults of others. Think of what God sees in us. He sees all sorts of flaws, yet He loved us so much He died on the cross for us. He loves us so much that even when we're not even doing the right thing, He still loves us. He abideth faithful. So we need to look for things that are lovely. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, the Bible says this. It says, this is talking about love. It says, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. And everybody read this last three words. Thinketh no evil. Thinketh no evil. Well, what about something's wrong? Absolutely. Finally, my brethren, if someone's overtaken a fault, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, lest you all be tempted. We're supposed to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So if we have some stinking thinking about our family or about our friends and we're critical of them, you need to start thinking of things that are good about them instead of things that are wrong with them. Secondly, well, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes. In Matthew, on the Sermon on the Mount, Christ said, judge not that ye be not what? Judged. It says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then what shall happen? And then shall every man have praise of God. Folks, we could practice that right now. If we all have our focus on God instead of on others, then we'll clean up our own act. And we won't worry about the acts of others. They should clean up themselves. And then we should all be on the same sheet of music. And if that doesn't happen, then there's a way of doing it. But we need to look for the positive. We're supposed to edify one another, build one another up, lift up one another. We need to change the way we think. One night, I'm going to confess something here to my wife that she doesn't know about. When I was in grad school at Purdue, one night I was driving home. And I was just kind of, it was late and everything else. I put my car in neutral because I like to kind of figure out coasting. And you know what I did? I put it in reverse. Gears going this way don't like wanting to go this way. And I had to fix the transmission. It got home, but it was bad. Folks, we're all geared to go a certain way. God wants us to go positively, okay? But if we put negative thinking in it, it's like we just put a big stick in the gears. It's like we want to just stop everything and just turn it backward. And then what happens when you start stripping gears? You have all metal and all sorts of stuff, and then it doesn't work anymore. Folks, we need to go forward on this. Am I thinking thoughts about others that are pure? Pure talks about being morally clean. morally clean. Here's some verses. The very next verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talk about love. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity. Basically, it doesn't think any evil. It says, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but what? Rejoicing in the truth. We have a choice. We can either think negatively, and guess what our lives will be? Negative. Or we can think positively, and our lives will be positive. Several months ago, we basically came to the conclusion that I can't live a bad life and come out with a right outcome. If I want a right outcome in my life, I need to live a right life. If I want holiness in my life, I need to be holy. I can't do my own thing. If I want God to work in my life, I've got to be obedient to Him. I got to see things His way. So am I thinking thoughts about others that are right and pure? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And be ye what? Kind one to another. Tenderhearted. It takes a change of heart. You can't think this. You can't change up here. You've got to have a change down here that changes your head. Because the attitude comes from the heart. All of our life comes from the heart. And be ye kind, one to tenderhearted, forgiving one another. You know what is frustrating to God is when we hold a grudge. You know, you probably have maybe a brother or sister that holds a grudge against you, and maybe even today. You may have a spouse that's holding a grudge or held a grudge and held it for weeks. And when there was that going on, there was no peace. There was no love because they're holding a grudge. And God must look down at us. And when we hold a grudge and we get upset with somebody, He says, why don't you just do the right thing? John, in 3 John verse 4, he says, my heart rejoices that my children walk in truth. That's what we need to do. We need to walk in truth. Be kind one to another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So we need to understand that I don't stink in God's eyes. And I need the truth of God in my life. Others don't stink either, because they're just like me. And they're precious to God, and therefore they need to be precious to me too. And then the last thing is about my circumstances. It addresses the temptation of bitterness, where we say that life just stinks. Maybe some of you tonight just think, it's not worth it. Life just stinks. I don't know why I'm doing these things. Here's the Bible says. The previous verse, to be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. The verse right before says, let all, how much? All what? Bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Get rid of it. Do you think God wants this stuff in our life? No. He doesn't want it in our life at all. James chapter 3 verse 14 says this. He says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the what? The truth. When we think I stink, we're lying against the truth. When we think that others stink, we're lying against the truth. When we think about life stinking, we're lying against the truth. And that's an avenue for bitterness to come in. Let me tell you, let me read this story. I found this illustration. Anybody know who she is? Huh? No. I'll give you the answer in a minute. This woman had every right to be bitter. It says, though talented, she went unrecognized for years. Prestigious opera circles closed their ranks when she tried to enter. American critics ignored her compelling voice. She was repeatedly rejected for parts for which she easily qualified. It was only after she went to Europe and won the hearts of the tough-to-please European audiences that stateside opinion leaders acknowledged her talent. Not only has her professional life been a battle, her personal life has been marked by challenge. She's the mother of two handicapped children, of whom one is severely challenged. Years ago, in order to escape the hectic pace of life in New York City, she purchased a home on Martha's Vineyard. It burned to the ground 2 days before she was to move in. Professional rejection, personal setbacks, which are perfect soil for the seeds of bitterness and negativity. But her friends don't call her bitter, they call her Bubbles. Her real name is Beverly Seals, internationally acclaimed opera singer, retired director of the New York City Opera, a person who Mike Wallace of CBS 60 Minutes called one of the most impressive, if not the most impressive woman I've ever interviewed. How can a person handle such professional rejection and personal trauma and still be known as Bubbles? It's what she said. I choose to be cheerful, she said. Years ago, I knew I had little or no choice about success or circumstances, but I knew I could choose to be cheerful. What's the difference between ability and success? It's your attitude. What drives a church, it's what drives your personal life, it's what drives your family. Chuck Swindoll wrote this. He said, the remarkable thing is that we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is to play on the one string we have, and that is our attitude. God needs to give every one of us an attitude adjustment. We all need it. We all have issues, little or big, in these areas. So am I thinking about thoughts about my circumstances that are honorable? Honorable means worthy of respect. The words noble, awe-inspiring, all these things. You know, I try to teach my kids that in every situation you look for the truth. You know, we always said, look for the silver lining in the cloud, right? It's a choice that we can make. So we can choose to focus in on the little things that really don't mean anything. Or we can look at the bigger mosaic and see how God can use this for His glory. And we can be more interested in God's glory than winning. We don't win. When people win in a family, others lose. When someone wins in a relationship, that other person loses. When people in a body of Christ look at winning and getting their way, others lose. And the cause of Christ loses. It's not about winning. It's about glorifying God. So am I thinking thoughts about my circumstances that are honorable? Am I thinking thoughts about my circumstances that are worthy of praise? Jeremiah chapter 32 verses 40 through 41 says, and I will make, here's what God told Israel. He said, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. What does everlasting mean? It'll never end. That I will not turn away from them. To do them what? To do them what? Good. But I will put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. Yea, I will rejoice over them. To do them what? Good. This is God speaking to Israel. And they kept on messing up. And I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. That's the God of the universe telling Israel this. And my question is, does our attitude on life give God the praise He deserves? You don't stink. You're bought with a price. They don't stink. They're God's children too. And if they don't know God, they need to know God. We need to take it to them. My life doesn't stink because God put me here and I need to bloom where He's planted me. Or go where He's told me to go to. John chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have what? Peace. There is no peace in your life without Jesus Christ. Amen. You can't have peace with yourself until you get your eternal relationship with God resolved. You can't have peace with others unless you have the vertical relationship with Jesus Christ correct. You can't view life through God's eyes, like Roy said Wednesday night, without having peace of God and being reconciled unto Him. It does not work. I want you all to understand God's peace. God doesn't want us to live a life that's defeated. He doesn't want us to live a life that all we care about is winning. We need to be working. We need to be glorifying Him. We need to be lifting one another up. That requires each and every one of us to change our attitude to Him. To Him. Tonight, we need to get rid of stinking thinking. If you got stinking thinking about yourself tonight, get rid of it. Leave it at the cross. About others, go talk to them. Resolve it tonight. About your circumstances, lay your petitions in front of God like Hezekiah did when the Assyrian army was outside saying, hey, you're going to get conquered. You might as well give up. Hezekiah went to the throne, to the altar, and he put the letter out there. He said, see what these guys talk about you? And God took care of the problem in a big way. In a big way. See, I serve a big God. He wants to take care of things in a big way. He wants us to do that, and He wants to do that in every one of our lives. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, I just ask that You be with this time of invitation. Father, help us, Lord, tonight to get rid of things that would break fellowship with You, break fellowship with others, and Lord, just makes our life miserable. Lord, give us the ability, Lord, give us the grace to think on things that are lovely and just and pure and of good report and honest and have virtue. Lord, I just thank You for this time. Lord, I thank You for Your word. And Lord, help us to trust in it with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, I just ask that You just be with this time of invitation. Change our lives. Help us to go from here change. And we ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.